Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could be here this morning to worship you. We thank you for the prayer requests we've heard. It seems like school is the main theme. I pray that you'd help those finishing with a dissertation and those taking classes at strange times to be able to get across town at the right time and get up on time. Pray for the all-day labs, that you would make those go well and it would be a witnessing opportunity. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today to have a good discussion about you and about where we want to go and what we want to do for you in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 How many of you were here when the special speaker last week talked about Rachel and Leah?
That was on Monday night, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was his last message. Yeah.
You remember, so I'll give you the 45-second version of it, so that the question I'm about to ask will make sense to those who did not get to be here. And I'm not going to do this justice, right? Because I've never heard Rachel and Leah this way before. So, if you remember in the Bible, Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. Mm-hmm. And it said before he served those 7 years, he had seen her and she was beautiful and he loved her. So the 7 years he served for her seemed but a few days, because Rachel looked good, and he loved Rachel. And then Laban snuck Leah in the tent, you know, because they didn't have lights and things at night, so this was possible to do, and she was veiled and all this, and when he woke up in the morning, it was Leah. And Jacob was more than a little disappointed and more than a little upset, and he went to Laban and he says, "What have you done to me?" And Laban said, "Well, this is, it goes against the custom of our people to give away the younger before the older, so it can't be done that way. So if you serve another 7 years, I'll give you Rachel." So now this guy's going to serve 14 years, and he says, okay, and he serves the 14 years and then stays a few years longer, but he gets to marry Rachel. And come to find out, throughout the entire Bible story, Leah keeps having children, God keeps blessing Leah, and Rachel doesn't have children for a long time. And then she finally has one, and then she dies in childbirth with the second one, which ends up being Benjamin. And it was so upsetting that she died that they stopped the caravan and buried her on the side of the road. But when Leah died many years later, they took her and they buried her with Abraham and Sarah and Isaac, right? Which one, in the long run, was better for Jacob?
Leah.
Significantly. Which one did Jacob end up appreciating more in the long run?
Leah.
Which one gave him the most blessings from the Lord? Leah. But that we went back to the verse that said, "And behold, in the morning, it was Leah." So the evangelist asked the question, what is your Leah? In other words, what was the thing you were sure was going to go this way, and then it was something completely different?
I thought I was going to get that job.
Yeah.
All of us have had different things in our lives where we can wake up and it's Leah. And we're like, okay, God, this is not the plan. Mm-hmm. God says, well, it's not your plan, but it's my plan.
Yeah.
And I have some of my own. And no, I did not go home and tell Jenny she was my Leah. That would not be a good thing. The Bible said that Leah was not attractive.
Something with her eyes.
Yeah.
Was it something with her eyes?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's what it said.
I want a
cross-eyed, so maybe I am your Leah.
Yeah, I really want a Leah.
Not at all.
She was like so pretty on the inside, like.
And she was. And when you think about it, Rachel gave birth to Joseph and Benjamin, but who raised them?
Leah.
She was raising all the other kids.
Rachel didn't know how.
Rachel was very, she was very,
was she vain?
She was very pretty, but she was very vain. She was very selfish, very difficult to be around. She was always causing strife everywhere she went. Mm-hmm. I'm sure all of you know someone who's like that.
Huh?
Everybody at work.
I cause you strife?
Mm-hmm. Daily.
He just called you pretty.
Thank you, Julian. Thank you for the
just seems positive.
Yeah. I'll be negative, there's a positive.
So, with all of that in mind, the lesson that we're starting now, we just finished, let me word it the way they worded it.
About a close relationship.
Yeah, yeah. It's a close relationship, part two, I think.
A passion
it was
for
a,
God.
A passion for God, part two, was lesson 9. Lesson 10 is a passion for God's perfect will, part 1. So, the story of Rachel and Leah, and what is your Leah, and different things like that, play directly into a passion for God's perfect will, whether it's part 1 or part 2. So, part 1 is subtitled Embracing God's Purpose. Let's go ahead and turn. We need 2 Corinthians 10, and then we need someone in 1 Corinthians 2.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians.
Okay.
1 Corinthians 2.
I really do have
to.
You
can do it.
Just have a whole
bunch of
2 Corinthians 10 and 1 Corinthians 2. Let's see, you gotta take all these markers out, too. You can turn the pages. All right, 2 Corinthians 10, 5.
5, you say?
Yes.
Actually, let's just start in verse 1 and get a small idea of the context. We're not going to read all of 2 Corinthians, but just read 1 through 5.
Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Casting down imaginations, we'll talk more about imagination in a minute, and every high thing that exalteth itself. Okay. Let's read 1 Corinthians 2, 9.
But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, 9 through 10.
No, just 9. So 1 Corinthians 2, 9 will be our memory verse for next week. Take these two verses together. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. If we go back to our story of Rachel and Leah, Jacob would never have imagined what Leah would mean to him, and what someone like Leah would, could, and did do for him throughout his life. The Bible says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. He can't even imagine it. But how many of us have taken a situation, a future idea, a thought for tomorrow, a goal, and imagined what it would be like if I could just have this car, if I could just have this career, if I could just have this house, if I could just have this job, if I could just have this. And then in your imagination, you play it up, and you play it up, and you play it up.
I think I do that daily.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
With something.
Right?
With something, you know.
Absolutely.
In class, instead of like, I'm like, let me just drink real quick.
Like, I'm applying for a job in Hawaii. I totally have already envisioned myself moving there.
Right. That would be hard not to. Yeah.
I mean, I looked at housing rentals already. Just to see what it would be like. They're actually quite affordable. I was surprised.
In the lesson, it talks about our desires. And desires are our ideas for the future, not necessarily just physical or lustful desires, but our plans for the future is what it's talking about when it says our desires. And I really like the way they put this. Your future desires are based upon your imagination, like in our first verse we read. You have imagined what the fulfillment of those desires might be like, living in a beach condo in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And your imagination, are you ready for this? Your imagination is far more generous than reality. So when you finally get what you think you want, Rachel, it's not what you imagined. It's not what you expected. Your desires set you up for disappointment and drop you hard. When, and I'm going to talk really frankly about Rachel, when Jacob finally got to marry Rachel, and he had been with Leah now for 7 years, and he had a wife, and they had some children already, and, you know, they're playing house, and they're, right? He knows what it is to be married to a woman who loves him and cares for him and provides household needs for him and provided him children and was taking care of his children. And then he marries this other person, Rachel, who he's got lifted up on this pedestal. And he gets her home, and she's a jerk. And she only cares about how she looks and what she wants. And that's all she ever wants to talk about and all she ever wants to do. And she always has a complaint. And he's like, what a jerk. But he already has this built up in his mind. So he keeps trying to figure out how to make her live up to this pedestal. How many times do we do that with things in our lives? We've got this idea that when we get this, it's going to be better than what we have today. And we go after it, and we finally get our hands on it, and we're like, well, this kind of stinks. But I like it because it's what I wanted. Well, how hard do you have to work to convince yourself of that? Maybe it's not what you wanted. Maybe you didn't know you were even interested in it.
I hope that doesn't happen with my schooling.
No. I'm not trying
to
tell
you that. You didn't like your career?
Yeah.
Doubt that because you're pretty passionate about
I like teaching, and this is ultimately to be able to like teach full-time at a college, so I've been doing it now for 7 years? It's been a long time. So
if we look at that verse again, 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations. So don't take your desires and your imagination and build them into something. Cast that down. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. So anything you're considering or hoping to do that this says exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. If you know enough about God to know that this is something that goes against the knowledge of God, if you have enough knowledge to know that this goes against God, why are you pursuing this thing? It's not going to be good for you. And then bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So work on obeying Christ. What this verse is saying is, there might be a Rachel out there that you think you want, but God has for everyone a Leah. That is what you need and will provide you greater fulfillment throughout life than you could ever have imagined or you could ever have achieved with a Rachel. But if you're not willing to do what God wants you to do, you're going to get forced into waking up in the morning and it's Leah. What if instead of it going the way it did in the Bible, and I'm glad it did, because now we have this, I'm glad that Laban pulled a fast one on Jacob, and we all get to talk about Rachel versus Leah, and we get to see that and learn from that. I'm glad it went that way. But what if Jacob had approached it differently? What if Jacob had seen Rachel and said, ooh, pretty girl, and then said, you know, I need to get married someday. And then he hit his knees and he started praying, God, prepare my heart, prepare me to be the right person, and whoever you want me to marry, prepare them to be ready to marry me. What if he had approached it differently? Would someone have had to pull a fast one on him to get him married to the right girl?
Probably not.
Probably not. Because he was in the will of God and seeking the will of God, and as this says, obedience of Christ at the end of this verse. Now, before we move on and fill in all the blanks that are in the book, think about it this way. The next verse, the one we're using as our memory verse, 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I think I've told you guys some before. My plan when I was in high school was to be in the military. And I went for a vacation with my dad and my brother, and we visited the
Citadel?
No, we visited the Air Force Academy. And we walked around, and I had a friend from high school who was there. So we walked around the Air Force Academy, we met with him, we met
Where's
with
that
the
at?
Entrance office. It's in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Oh, okay. We went to the church at the Air Force Academy, and they weren't having church service, and it's an interesting study, because the military has chaplains, and always has had chaplains, and they're allowed to teach you according to your religion, but the same church building has different kinds of services for different religions, right? So one day it might be the Baptist meeting there, and the next day it might be the Mormons, and the Catholics, and all the different religions, right? But now in the military, there's this...
This is a rabbit trail.
This is a rabbit trail, yeah. But now in the military, there's this... You can stop what you're doing and get on your knees and face and pray to Allah. But if you're a Christian, you can't tell people about Jesus, and you can't worship the Lord at work, and you can't write. There's only one religion they're really snubbing and pushing away. Mm-hmm. So anyway, completely a rabbit trail. But it was interesting, because we saw the church and we walked around the grounds, and I was sure I was going to the Air Force Academy, or not the Air. I knew my grades weren't probably good enough to go to the Air Force Academy, but I was sure I was going to be in the military. It's positive. It's all I wanted. It's all I thought about. It's all I dreamt about. I prepared for it. I was good at doing the push-ups and the mile and a half run and all the stuff you have to do to get in. And I was sure this is what I was going to do. And my junior year finished, and my senior year started, and I didn't have any ROTC scholarship. I had applied for it. I didn't have an Air Force Academy or any other academy appointment. I had applied for them, and boy was that, for a kid in high school, that's a lot of work to put that together. And I was just sure it wasn't going to happen. And then one day the letter came. They had put me on a 3-year scholarship for Air Force ROTC, and I could pick what school I went to. But I had to pay for the first year, and they'd pay for the last 3. Wonderful. Very excited. I remember taking it downstairs and showing it to my dad. He's at the breakfast table. He was eating his eggs. And he read it, and I said, is that what I think it is? He says, yeah, that's a scholarship, so you can go to school. And I said, this is awesome. And I was really excited. He says, yeah, that's good, son. And he pushed it out of the way and picked up his newspaper and started reading again. I guess it just wasn't that big of a deal to him. I don't know. I was pretty excited. And so... He helped me figure out different schools and which ones offered free room and board for bringing your ROTC scholarship to the school, because the The ROTC scholarship did not include room and board. It covered tuition and some different things, but not room and board. But most schools that had an ROTC program would pay you the room and board if you brought the scholarship there. So he figured this out. He found several schools, one of which I ended up going to, that would pay room and board for your first year if you just paid the tuition, if you brought the 3-year scholarship there. So we set all this up, and I went to school, and there was some problem with my medical stuff. They didn't like the CAT scans that had been done when I was a kid of my sinuses, and so they said, it'll be okay, we can fix this, we'll go get you new CAT scans. Just to prove that you're not in that bad a shape with your sinuses anymore, and you'll be fine. And so we got new CAT scans, and then right after I got home from my first year of school, the letter came. It was from the Department of Defense Medical Examination Review Board, and it said, you no longer have an ROTC scholarship, you will not be joining the Air Force, you are not in ROTC, you are medically disqualified, you cannot serve. And this was my Leah. And I was just sure this was the end of everything, and I didn't know what I was going to do, and I was really unhappy about it. And so I did what every responsible young man does. I called the Marine Corps recruiter there in town. And I said, you remember we met, and you came over, and you played with the dog, and you said you'd get me in the Marine Corps. And I said I wasn't going to go in the Marine Corps because I had an ROTC scholarship. He goes, oh, yeah, I remember you. And I said, well, I have this letter from DODMERB, the Department of Defense. Right. He says, oh, yeah, yeah. And I said, what, that's not a big deal? He says, I can get you out of that. You want to get in? I said, yeah, I want to get in. He says, come down and meet with me. And I went down, and I filled out some sheet. And he says, I'll get you in. Give me a week. 3 weeks later, I call him. I'm like, I haven't heard from you. He goes, yeah, I can't get you in. You're not getting in. I'm like, what do you mean? I said, I can't just enlist and be an enlisted guy in the Marine Corps. He's like, no. No, I can't get you in. I can't get it reversed. I can't get an exception. You're not getting it. And then it was really my Leah, because I was just sure that not only did the main path to what I wanted get closed off, but the side path that I thought I was going to take and go join and be enlisted and then go on reserves and go to school and then go to PLC, Platoon Leaders Course, and become an officer in the Marine Corps, I had it all figured out. And I was very heavily invested in it. I was sure this is what I was going to do. God had a different plan. He had me move away from where I was to Tucson. He had something waiting in Tucson for me. I had no knowledge of this, but he did. So she was not my Leah, but she was the good part of what God had for me that I didn't know about. And of course the kids and, you know, all the different things I've gotten to do here with my career at Intuit that I never would have.
Which is illogical, since he doesn't have a degree that he can support our whole family. Because they tell you that can't be done.
Yeah, I have one year of college, and the computer classes I took in my 1 year of college
were a joke.
Well, because you have to, it was the same thing you guys went through when you're going to college. Your major is this thing over here, let's say mechanical engineering, and you got to take a whole bunch of gen ed classes before you can get to mechanical engineering.
I feel like they gave me like a...
Oh, yeah. They don't want to take gen ed. Yeah.
But you didn't have to... Yes, actually, those are not that far apart.
I was talking to a friend of mine whose son was in our junior high class when we were at New Testament. Now he's a freshman at the U of A, and he's engineering, some kind of engineering, can't remember which. And he's just so smart, but he's struggling with English. It's just really hard for him. But he's great at all engineering and computer classes, and it's hard. I think there should be more trade school opportunities for people like that, because if the whole point is to get out working, let's get them out working.
Yeah, and I can point to things in my past with my, especially my mom. She was this extremely... So my dad was brilliant, is brilliant, even with Alzheimer's. He's brilliant on a level that I don't even fully comprehend. He can do things in his head most people can't do with a computer in front of him where it's programmed to do it. Like they can't Google it because they don't understand it well enough to even Google it and look up how to do it. And he just runs it in his head, right? But my mom was so practical. And so when I was in high school, I hated English. Hated it. I already speak the language.
Please.
No, I know. I've talked to him about it. I speak the language. I know how to write. I know how to spell. I don't need to take English anymore. I'm like, I actually went to my mom every year in high school and I said, how do we get out of this? This is so dumb. I'm going to spend an hour every day in English class again. I've been doing this for years. I don't like taking English class. And it wasn't cool like there was English lit and there was composition. It wasn't anything cool like that. In my high school, it just said English every year. 10th grade English, 11th grade English, 12th grade English. And I was so unhappy about it. And when I would go to my mom, she would look at me and she would say, you need to take this class and you need to do a good job. And I require you to get an A. And I'm like, why? She says, because you're capable of an A and because you need this class. And I said, Mom, I don't need another English class. I got an A in English last year. I don't need another English class. You need to take this class. Yes, ma'am. She would never tell me why. She would never give me any background info or additional info. Just, you need to take this class. I got my job at Intuit after not getting to go in the military. And I started, and you know what set me apart from everyone else who was doing tech support? They didn't have to teach me how to communicate and speak the English language. And when I wrote an email, this was before the days of spell check inside Outlook, right? We had Outlook, but it was basically just Notepad with a list of other notes, really all it was. I didn't need spell check. I didn't need grammar check. I could actually write a letter with paragraphs. I know this is really basic stuff, but the other people in tech support, there's someone
right now.
There's someone in yeah. They can't write. They can barely read. They can barely speak. They didn't have to train me on these things. So I came out of training class and immediately went straight to the top. And it allowed me to build the first few years I was there. And that's how come I'm still there. And that's why I'm able to, as she said, support the family. Because God had a plan, and he made me take English, and he gave me a mom who required me to get an A. I came home with a B in English in like 10th grade for one of the quarters or
sometimes
semesters
or something.
Sometimes I
feel like your mom, like, I don't want to say reincarnated because I don't believe in that, but, you know, like all over again because I totally see the same thing as Jeremiah.
And she was just practical and she just knew. And she wouldn't stop and explain it. She wouldn't tell us. She'd be like, no, you're doing this. No, Mom, you don't understand. She would look at me and say, no, son, I do understand. But it's not for you to understand. You're doing it. And we need that. And God is going to be maybe a little different than that, but he is not required to make us understand ahead of time. He requires that we obey and that we trust him and that we follow him. He has Leah for us in the future. And Leah may not look good to us now, but it is good for us. And he does have our best interest at heart. He created us. He knows what's good for us better than anyone else that has ever lived or ever will lived. Ever will lived. That doesn't work.
But you took English.
Make me take another class. Make me take English.
Refresher course.
But yes. Speaking is not the same as English. English is all about writing.
Right.
And I didn't understand that. My mom did, but
well,
I
should take some communication
class.
You
probably didn't envision yourself.
That's
right.
What I teach.
I didn't envision, you're correct, I didn't envision myself writing at all. And that was the big thing. Once I learned how to figure out the issues I was helping customers with, we had to write the documentation to put online so people could find the answers for themselves and not have to call in. And they would take people off the floor who were good at the technical part and try to teach them how to write, and they couldn't teach them. They already had too many bad habits. I could write already. And so it worked in my favor that God did it his way and gave me the mom he gave me and took me away from the military. Because I'm making more now than I could in the military.
And you could have died.
Nice.
I could have died in the military.
And you could have died.
You wouldn't have met me.
Well, that could have, we might have gotten
that
answers.
As the first benefit of me not being in the military.
Helping is also life.
All right. So 1 Corinthians 2:9 for our memory verse. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to be here and worship you. We thank you that we get to stay after today and have fellowship. Pray that you'd help us to have a good time and be honoring to you in all that we do and say. Help us to have a passion for your will in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now you all are staying.